Hello there, this is Godswill Ezonyeka with a thought to challenge your normal. You see, rather than take life at face value, I believe you could live much better if you based your decisions on careful analytical thought. So welcome to the Thinker's Table. This is the Now Think Podcast.
Hello, hello everyone. It is so good to be back on the podcast. It's good to have you listening to me at this moment. Whatever you're doing, I think you should keep on doing it with as much energy as you possibly can, because this is the Now Think Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about something really, really interesting, a little bit complex, because I want to take the time to break it down. But I think that you're going to get it because it's quite simple as well. It's a little bit complex and a little bit simple. But first of all, I want to do something I've wanted to do, but I keep on forgetting. I want to thank the people that helped me to make this podcast a reality. To be completely honest, I have times where I either do not believe completely in what I want to say, or I've not yet pieced my thoughts together enough. And there's this set of people that actually listen to me and help me gather my ideas and formulate them properly over time. You see, for me, I think better when I talk. So it's important for me that I talk before I talk on the podcast, if that makes sense. And I don't thank every one of them. I'm going to avoid mentioning names just so that I don't forget anybody. But each and every one of you, you know yourself. And I want to specifically say thank you. You are indeed a blessing to my life and to everyone listening to this podcast. Now, let's get down to it. For those of us that read our Bibles, or maybe you know a lot of Bible stories, you might have come across a very interesting story in the book of Exodus chapter 14. Now, Moses is a leader that is called by God to lead the people of Israel out of captivity in Egypt and to a promised land. And for some reason, God gives them this map and kind of directs them to go through a route that will take them towards the Red Sea. Now, as they approach the Red Sea, they're still trying to figure out what God's plan is in this situation. But while they are in that position, apparently, Egypt, their captors, suddenly realizes that they do not want to let these people go. And they gear up for war and start charging after them to stop them. This is the scene Exodus chapter 14 tries to paint to us. Basically, right in front of them is a big, massive body of water. And behind them is an army charging at them as fast as horses can possibly go to either kill them or take them back into captivity. Now, in this position that is literally between a rock and a hard place, the people of Israel are very reasonably scared, right? They're in a position where everything they do matters critically to their existence and their survival and what their life will turn out to be. And in that moment, they turn to Moses and start murmuring and complaining. And out of all the things that Moses, being this powerful leader, called by God to rescue the children of Israel, could say in such a moment filled with fear and anxiety is, "Stand still and see." Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, it comes off a little bit nonchalant, you know? Like, I feel like Moses is not acknowledging the importance of the moment. But recently, I started thinking about those words, "stand still and see." And I think there's more to it. I think we can ponder on it just a little bit more. And we can see that, in effect, Moses was not just saying something to calm them down, or he was not just pointing to something that we can easily breeze over. However, it's a fundamental principle that you could apply towards dealing with the tense, panic-filled moments of your life. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to break this short phrase into words. We're going to talk about stand, we're going to talk about still, and then we're going to talk about see. And then we'll bring it all together and try to make this a full circle moment, if that's okay. All right. So, first word, stand. Now, remember the scene I painted in the beginning of the podcast, right? There is the water in front of them. There is the army charging at them to kill them, to take them back into slavery. At that moment, our default response as humans is to do something, to save ourselves in whatever kind of way. I feel like it's that thing in our bodies that is literally tied to our biology, where our body tries to save itself once it senses danger. Scientists would call it the fight or flight response, right? It's this need to do something, to not just sit idly by and watch danger come at you. However, for some reason, the first word Moses says to the people of Israel is stand. And I think the reason he says this is, although we have a tendency to run whenever we are in danger, this is almost always a bad idea. I'm not saying that doing something to protect yourself is a bad idea, or doing something to run away from danger is a bad idea. It is more so the immediacy with which we try to do any of these things. The fact that we are not necessarily thinking anymore, the fact that we're not necessarily cautious anymore, the fact that we're doing this completely out of panic is why running immediately or taking any action immediately is a completely bad idea. The most important thing you can do whenever you find yourself in a place of panic, in a place of anxiety, in a place of danger, is to first stand. And what does that mean? That means to stop, to analyze. To stop, to analyze. Now, it is a mode where you say, wait, what is happening and what does this mean? So that you can know what to do, right? Standing is a position of stopping to analyze. Now, why is this important? Because standing, first of all, makes you hard to move. Think about a car, a stationary car. It's pretty difficult for a powerful wind to move that car, right? But if you've driven before, you know that the faster your car gets, the lighter it becomes on the road. Now, what does that mean in reality? The more speed you engage in because of fear or because you want to save yourself from some certain danger, the more chances you have to be misdirected. The more chances you have for error. So when you stand, the first thing you're reducing at that moment is your chances for error. You're saying, I don't want to make a mistake because I'm not thinking. I don't want to make a mistake because I'm not giving myself a moment to consider what exactly is happening. Now, but you cannot just stand just because you want to or because you think it's a great idea. You have to stand because standing is the only way you can realistically gain stability, right? To gain stability is to find your position in the scheme of things, right? And one of the key things you need to be able to stand is stability. So standing gives you stability, but you need stability to stand, because if the ground on which you stand is shaky, then it is almost impossible to stand. And to this end, I want you to understand that for you to find your stand in the face of trouble, one of the things you have to understand is, what am I standing on? What am I standing on? What gives me the rationale to find stability in this moment? What do I trust on? Right? Because when you think about someone standing in the face of trouble, it is easy to make the mistake to think that they are being passive, to think that they do not care about the immediacy, or they do not care about the danger of the moment. However, standing is not a position of passivity. Actually, it's a position of active readiness. So if you're sitting, that's more so passive, right? But when you're standing, you're ready to either break into a run or to take a step. It is that readiness that makes standing such a powerful instruction. It is not saying just stop for the sake of it. It's saying stop, analyze, so that you can take instruction, so that you can do something. It is stopping so that you can do. It is taking a break so that you can work better. It is sharpening the axe so that you can cut better. When life comes at you, the best thing you can do for yourself is to stand. Now, the readiness that comes with standing is something that is quite shaky. So to just say stand is an incomplete instruction. You need the second word. And that second word is to be still, to stand still. Now, one thing people hate to hear when they are pensive is calm down, right? The worst thing you can tell anybody when they are angry or they are in a mood is to tell them to calm down. It's very annoying. But the interesting thing is, ironically, it is the first step we must always take when it is time to solve the problem. So when Moses said to stand still, he was basically saying that where standing tells you how to act, that is to stop, to not take an action in the moment out of your irrational fear, still tells you how to fail. So I believe the necessity for the word still in that instruction is because where stand tells you how to act, still tells you how to fail. Where stand is referring to action, still is referring to emotion. You see, it is one thing to take a break and analyze, to stop and understand what is happening, to gain a perspective on your position of things. However, if your mind, if your emotions are riotous, it would rarely produce any significant result. A stillness is necessary for you to effectively stand. And what does that look like in reality? It is a quiet restfulness in your heart. It is understanding that things will be fine. They might not look like it in the moment, but they will be fine. It is sort of a patient trust. Now, if you remember when we talked about stability in the first point, right? I said standing is a function of what you stand on. Now, based on whatever that system of confidence is for you, that is where your stillness is going to come from. Now, if you're a Christian, one of the things that we uphold so much in the faith is God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. I personally believe that the reason for that characterization of this peace is because the peace is based on something completely otherworldly. It is not of this world. God is not of this world, right? So it is in fact the fact that our peace is outside of this world. It is the reason why it can sustain regardless of what the world is going through, right? So in a sense, it's the stability of the ground or the foundation for your trust that should feed into your stillness. However, when you stand, you need also to stand still. You need to calm yourself physically, but also calm yourself emotionally. It seems like a tall order to ask, but you also have to understand that this is very much possible to carry out. It's very possible to do. And it is important, if not pivotal, to your ability to act correctly or to take the right set of actions that will lead to your solution. Very important for us to note, a lack of stillness will make you suffer more than necessary. I mean, think about it. How many times have you gone through a problem and though that problem was painful, though it was strenuous to your life, the fact that you worried about it so much or you let your mind go wild made it even worse than it had to be, right? So this is what I'm saying. In that phrase, Moses says, we see an instruction that applies not only to what we are doing, but how we are feeling in the moment. Regardless of how much noise around you, regardless of how much of a storm life turns out to be, it is possible to, in that moment, find peace within you. And the trick to doing this is to remember what your basis of stability is, what your basis of trust is. Now, with that being said, let us go to the final word, C. This, I think, is the one thing that almost had nothing to do with the scene that was painted in the first place. I mean, they had an army coming at them. There was the Red Sea. They were fully aware of the Red Sea. They were fully aware of the army. They could see quite effectively what was going on in the moment, which caused their reaction. But then Moses says, see. And people that know the story would be smiling at this moment because I am not yet saying the entire sentence. And I have a reason for doing this. But I think it is important for us to note what was happening. In a sense, what Moses was saying was, I know what you're seeing right now, but see again. See differently. And he didn't just say to them, see. He said, first, stand still. That is to say that for you to see effectively, there is an importance to stand still. So when you stand still, you greatly increase your ability to see, and not just to see, but to see differently. Because a conscious state of calm confidence is massively important if you would attain focus. Now, that's a different word from see, but it's very important, right? So taking a cue from the natural, you can only pay attention to one thing at a time. And there's a reason for this, and that is too much sight is equally as bad as too little sight. So to explain this, I had to consult with my friend that is an optometrist. Her name is Damaris. And one of the things she said to me about the way we see is that while you use your eyes to look, it is our brains that does the seeing. So this means that the eye is an instrument that serves the brain to perceive sight, right? That means the eye is basically a medium in between what is being seen and the brain that does the seeing, right? So basically, one of the ways sight work is that the cornea, which is in the eye, regulates the passage of light. Now, this is one of the many functions that enables the eye to focus, and thus the brain can perceive sight. Now, where there is no focus, where the regulation of light is for any reason dysfunctional, what happens is that there is now too little light or too much light, which is detrimental to sight because there is no regulation to what is placed in focus. And then the brain ends up seeing nothing. Now, all of this medical jargon I brought to say that for us to see properly, focus is important. Focus is necessary to enhance what you see. So you just don't see because it is right in front of you. You see because you focus on it. I want to say that one more time. You don't just see because it is right in front of you. You see because your mind or the brain that does the seeing is focused on it. And it is a function of the eyes being able to control the amount of light that comes in. That is so powerful. Because if we bring this as an analogy into a more realistic point of view, we learn that we are functionally only seeing what we permit ourselves to see, in a sense. So when we feel like we are in danger, what is happening is we've allowed a different light, right, to get into our minds. And that light or that information that we had is overflooding our senses for us to think that all there is to see is the problem that we are experiencing. However, if we redirect our focus, there's a very high possibility that we can see differently. And in seeing differently, our reaction will drastically change. So, what is a good example of this? Think of that car, you know, the one that cannot be carried away because now it is stationary. Imagine that car was on high speed, right? I can assure you that the driver would have to pay a lot of attention. But understand this, that even though he's paying a lot of attention, the focus that he has cannot be compared to if that car was at a stationary position. What am I trying to say with this? I'm saying that the initial two instructions to stand still is important because standing still narrows your focus. It narrows down your focus and it gives you a better opportunity of redirecting what it is you're looking at. Most of the time, when we get into these tense situations and dangerous situations, our minds are going like a car at 100 miles per hour, right? In that moment, the best thing you can do for yourself is to stand still. Why? Because once you can calm yourself, once you can stop your need to do something, what happens is then you can redirect your focus and effectively change how you see. Now, why is this important? I've come to believe that basically perspective is everything. If you remember in the last podcast, I talked about the 9 blind men, you know, looking at an elephant and how perspective can drastically change our experience of this world. I've come to believe that that is a principle that applies across the board. Depending on how you see this world, it is how you're going to react to the world. It is how you're going to live in this world. So in essence, our reality is effectively shaped by our perspective of life. So why is seeing such an important thing? Because what you see is basically how you live. And since life exists on the principle of action and reaction, how you live then is the major precursor for what you get. Now, if you put all of this together, we realize that it's as though all of them works in an interactive way. So for you to stand, you have to realize the importance of seeing. And for you to see, you have to stand. And all of this, you need to be still. You need to find the character of being still regardless of the storm around you. You see, all of them works together to one end, to effectively change your perspective on the moment that you are having at that time. Now, the instruction to stand still and see is one that portrays what your role in the solution is. Many times, we like to make ourselves the center of all that makes or breaks us. Now, it doesn't have to be so, and this is because we are greatly limited in our understanding of things and in the power that we can wield. But we can learn to find peace regardless of these limitations. And how do we do that? By stopping, finding calmness in our minds, in our emotions, and then cast our vision onto something that is much bigger, much better, and much brighter. This ability to calm down and see differently might effectively be the thing that changes how you see your life currently. You see, the answer is available most of the time. It is available, but it can be missed if you don't see it. With the noise and speed of our present day, this sounds very counterintuitive, and I get it, but I believe something in you knows that what I'm saying is true. Now, if you remember the story that I talked about, when Moses said to them, "Stand still and see," the thing that followed after was the salvation of God. He was basically telling them that, "I know you see the Red Sea. I know you see the army. But before you do anything, before you go into frantic anxiety, stop, calm your emotions, and focus. Because the salvation of God is within your sight. And the moment you can see it, you react differently." That ability of them to listen to Moses at that moment and apply this simple instruction led to them experiencing one of the greatest miracles told about in the entire Bible, and that is the dividing of the Red Sea. I want you to think about it. If they decided to just do something, some of them might have gone after the Egyptians and died a useless death because these Egyptians were way more stronger, way more trained than any of them. Or some of them might have run into the Red Sea and drowned themselves for no just cause. Why? Because they could not see at that moment that God's salvation was within reach. Your ability to stand still and see is the key to assessing the solution that just might be within your reach. And the only way for you to know that for sure is to practice it. So, I know that this might have been a lot to take in, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a second part of this episode. And what I want to do with that is to bring in some of my friends, and we are going to have sort of a collage sort of thing where I share with you lived experiences of the practice version of this principle, right? So I will be having some friends share their story and how it made all the difference to stand still and see. I hope you look forward to that part. But in the meantime, I want to go over this thought, and definitely if you have a question or you want to talk about it, contact me via social media. My Instagram handle is stated in the information, so you can definitely send me a DM and we would have a chat. But till then, I'd like you to share this podcast and definitely keep on thinking. My name is Godswill Ezonyeka, and this has been the Now Think Podcast. See you soon.